Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. And we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Stuart Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. It's so funny because Joe's like looking everywhere else because he's like staring at this intro like 15,000 times. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture twice a week. Every Monday and Friday, we drop new shows. We're going to be talking a lot about Warner Brothers and HBO Max on this upcoming show this weekend, and Bullet Train from Brad Pitt. So please check it out this weekend, the Pop Culture Cosmos. Inside Sports Fantasy Football, because guess what? Football is here. The exhibition season has started, so we'll be going heavy into some fantasy football right for you. And Inside Sports Fantasy Football, Game Source. Joe Soro is always lurking around the great groups at LakersBall.com. Plus also as well, Laker Tom has a great new article on trying to go ahead and convince LeBron to sign an extension, which, you know, it's been productive so far. Right there for you at LakerHolics.com. Plus, Jamie Sweet has a great article on LeBron as well at LakerHolics.com and his 5 things column right there for you. So go ahead and check out today at LakerHolics.com. Plus, our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network, because they do what they can for you with all their great NBA shows right there at HoopheadsPod.com, including ours. And if you can go ahead and catch all that, plus, we want to thank so much all the brand new YouTube subscribers out there. We truly appreciate you being part of the Lakers Fast Break family. He's laughing again. It's only 2 minutes, my friend. You're already laughing. I can't believe it. But if you could do all that, it is it's sincerely, from me anyways, it's sincerely appreciated. But we're back once again right here at the Lakers Fast Break. And we said we would be here on the day where the Lakers and LeBron James can start discussing options in regarding to a contract extension, which, according to Dave McMenamin, has been very productive as far as the productive contract talks are concerned, but nothing yet signed, nothing yet agreed upon. And we don't even know what stages of this productivity we're at, because the fact is, you know what? LeBron could be holding up. He could be providing some contentions. He could be asking for different things from Lakers. We don't know the full inside story. We were hoping it would be a done deal already and that the ink would be just drying right now on a brand new extension for LeBron James, but we haven't heard anything official as of yet. And here today to talk about LeBron's extensions, a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out today at LakersBall.com. Of course, everything that he does here at the LFB. It is Joe Soro. Joe, after smiling through my entire intro and laughing it up, you've only heard it 10,000 times, like I said. It is the LeBron extension. I mean, it looks like it's already been offered. Looks like they may be working out the kinks, but productive contract talks. When you hear that, it Are you concerned at all that LeBron may be holding out or maybe deciding that he might have some better options in store for himself?
My guess is going to do I've been hearing that he's going to do a 1+1, which is it seems to be the norm anyways. Mm-hmm. So instead of doing the 2-year extension, he's going to do one extension and then maybe let the second one go through after he finds out what happens after this season. Mm-hmm. So we'll have him for 23, 24, and then if 24 goes well, maybe he'll do 25. At least that's what that sounds like. I was laughing because someone, Mike G, said, "I hope Joe is not on."
Well, his political views or whatever he thinks, again, are his and his alone. But, Joe and I are friends, despite the fact we disagree on a lot of different things, sometimes not as much as some of our listeners like, as you and I have discussed off camera. But I do disagree with a lot with what you said in regards to LeBron off the court and some things of that nature. But I will go ahead and talk about LeBron off the court in regards to in a possible extension. I mean, when you hear that, does it give you pause for concern at all? Because it kind of does for me. I don't think it's a done deal as of yet.
I think you might be looking into it too much. It doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters right now is trying to get this team set for November or late October. Mm-hmm. LeBron can sign that thing, I'm assuming, anytime he wants. So he's playing in 2022-2023. We have to put something together here to make this season not what it was last season. The question is this going to be a title team right now? That's the question we all should be asking. The moves, yeah, will be the precursor to that, but we also have to see if those moves will create a title contender. If they're not a title contender, then there's really nothing else to do. They're going to have to go into it. And I think that comment doesn't do much. The comment that I've recently heard is the Lakers have given, or something has given, Darvin Ham full autonomy to bench Russell Westbrook. Why would something like that come out? Would that be a leak from the front office? If it is, it's more of an insult to Frank Vogel. It sounds like they didn't let Frank Vogel bench him when he probably wanted to, and that might have been where the rift was.
Let me just say this: they're just doing Frank Vogel dirty. I mean,
they did. That one was the worst one. That right there. That might be like even worse than what they did to him before they fired him. It's like they said, "Oh well, you know what? You got to listen to us." And by the way, you're not commanding enough. You're not commanding enough of a respect by your team. Well, how are you supposed to do that when your front office is not letting you make a call that you probably wanted to make? And that might have been an assumption before until I read what Darvin Ham is going to be allowed to do. That just, in my opinion, proves that they are a big part of what screwed all that up. Because I had said after the All-Star break, they should have benched Westbrook. They had no use for him at that point because they weren't playing well. They were not going to play well with him in there. Might as well just sit him down and stop having him be an influence on those who, I guess, wanted to play team ball a little bit more.
It just, again, with Russell's performance, especially during this, the half of the season where he started to really, it started to really go south. And the fact is, you heard the Staples crowd starting to boo him because he was making poor choices out there on the court. People were really getting on his case. And that was bad for him and also as well the Lakers. I just think it was a point where, I'm now fully with you and Laker Tom that does not want Russell Westbrook on the team when it comes to the start of the season. If his contract is on this, you know, as far as the $47 million, they can't trade it, then okay, that's fine. Go ahead, you know, tell him to do, you know, similar to what John Wall and the Rockets did. Just go ahead, relax, maybe work out. You know, we'll work on something for you. Hopefully we can trade you for it and that you'll maybe get bought out and get a better opportunity somewhere else. But it just does not seem like it's going to work out long term at all with Russell Westbrook and the Los Angeles Lakers.
That was apparent during his exit interview.
Yeah.
That was the final. I mean, it was always there, but that one was the sealer. That was the lick the envelope, make it tight, flip it, put the stamp on, send it in the mail. Brooklyn and the Lakers have been pretty well. There's been word that Brooklyn's been leaking stuff.
But I mean, I hear the latest today that Kyrie Irving has suddenly magically thought of the Lakers as his place to go, and he's going to go there regardless if he gets traded there or goes there as a free agent next year. That's via The Athletic. That
sounds like Paul George part two. Mm-hmm. We assume that, and rightfully so.
He was from Inglewood. You know, he, you know, that was like me. I'm from Inglewood as well. You know, I think that right there, you think it's right, the hometown Lakers. You thought, well, actually, now if you're born in Inglewood today, the Clippers are closer to where you're at than the Lakers are by a couple, you know, a few blocks. But, you know, need I digress?
Inglewood will never
don't
be.
Don't pick on Inglewood. No. Don't pick. No,
Inglewood will always be Laker country. I don't care how many. Okay. Clipper people go over there. This is kind of like the.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Look, this is the Lakers town. Come on.
I know what Steve Ballmer was saying the other day.
I don't
day.
Care what he, Steve Ballmer does. I don't care who he is. This is Laker town. The LA Lakers is LA. The LA Clippers are a Division II team, a Division NAIA team compared to the Lakers. Agreed. They have won nothing. I don't care how many times they beat us in the regular season. It means nothing when it matters. In this business of sports, in the business of anything, when can you do stuff that matters? That's when you become relevant.
The big numbers are 17-0, and I'll leave it at that.
That's a big part of it. You can also say 34-0 in the finals.
Okay.
No, I think it's 35.
I think it's 30 or 5, yeah.
Even all that, the stop living in the past and all that, you know, that's the answer I'll get sometimes, not just with Lakers stuff, but just in general. Mm-hmm. I go, we won a title 2 years ago. What do you mean living in the past? We won 6 titles in this century or in the last 22 years. What is more relevant than 6 championships in 22 years? And your last championship was 2 years ago. I'm not talking about the New York Knicks, who haven't won diddly poo in 50 years. I'm talking about the LA Lakers here. And if you're not winning something that matters, then your argument doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The LeBron Westbrook thing is going to play off each other. If we trade Westbrook for a player or players that's going to give the Lakers a shot at winning a championship, there's a very high probability that LeBron makes a commitment beyond 2024. If he stays healthy the way he has, if he truly is the Tom Brady of the NBA, then we're going to have a guy that's going to be there and that's going to compete. Granted, he's only going to really compete on one half of the floor, but that's what Brady does too, right? In the NFL, he only plays one side of the game. Yeah. So it's going to be important that, again, it's important that whomever the Lakers do bring in, they're able to bring in players that can complement team basketball, team defense, maybe even have an ability to have a player that will somewhat rest LeBron during the year.
Well, that's one thing I wanted to ask you because of these productive contract talks that are continuing. I want to know that could LeBron be hedging his bets? Could he be saying, okay, I don't want to commit to an extension, until you can provide me with a better team. I spoke to Laker Tom on a previous conversation in regards to this, and his thoughts were that he wasn't doing it to hold out for as far as any leverage is concerned. I still think that the longer this holds out, if it goes through the weekend, goes beyond, and he doesn't sign an extension, and it's just led to productive contract talks, I think, again, it provides more leverage for him in the case that the Lakers must be expedient in making changes and additions to the roster that benefit him in the short term and will allow him to go ahead and maybe consider more strongly an extension than maybe what he's doing right now. And again, it's just all speculation at this point.
Well, everything's speculation. What's the common sense answer at this point?
Well, if I was his legal team, I would say, wait, it's there. The extension has been given or has been offered. Why go ahead and sign on now right now? Because of the fact that you don't have a team in place that's going to take you where you want to go.
Yeah, but where is he going to go after this? Is he going to go to another team that's championship worthy? That's a big part of why I don't. He likes L.A. I've never heard anything negative about L.A. in terms of him. He's quite fond of the area. He likes his kids there. He likes what's going on. Where else would he go to win? I don't know where he would go to win. If he's just stat padding, then he can go anywhere. He can go back home, go back to Miami for the minimum, go wherever his son is. We're looking at this from a championship contending situation, and there's really nothing. I don't know where else he could go that would create that, unless someone kind of guts their team for him. But I don't see that happening anywhere. They're not going to do that.
Well, look who's here. He's showing up for the first time in a long time. Great to have him back. Kenneth Stone, showtime indeed. So what are your thoughts right there on LeBron's productive contract talks as it stands right now? Nothing signed as of yet. They're still talking. But do you see anything as far as a prolonged hesitancy by LeBron simply because of the fact that the roster may not be to the extent what he likes?
Okay, first of all, I'm going to shoot at a lot of points. But first, okay. I want to say, I love you guys. It's been a while. And you guys' objectivity. First, Joe, what you said towards Bill Russell the other day, I commend you on that. That was like prime. It was very significant and concrete on what you said towards him and you guys' show towards what you guys have been doing. I have been listening. I've been kind of away and everything like that, but I've been listening. I've been tuned in. You guys still been doing great. And I love being back right now. I'm loving this energy right now, and I'm loving being back. And like you guys, are still stay concrete. I just want to say that first and foremost.
Love having you back on the show.
Yes, sir.
There's been a little bit of Bill Russell. I've done a few papers in my time. One was for the NFL. The other was Bill Russell. So I've gone a little bit in depth on learning a little bit more about Bill Russell and his career, not only in basketball, but outside basketball. So I've without meeting the guy, I knew a lot about him. And one of the guys that definitely was legit. And I say legit in that he lived his TV persona. He actually lived behind it.
Instead of the longevity that he gained to get. And I don't want to add to it. I think what you guys said was brilliant. I think every point you guys made and just the soliloquy that you guys gave and your guys' take on his career on the court, off the court, him as a man, and, these times, him as an African-American, him playing in Boston in those times, and to give him the respect that you guys gave me listening when I hit the YouTube when I clicked it and I listened to it and I was like, that was really profound and it was very respectful. So I just wanted to say that first and foremost before I dive anything going to the Lakers opposite Boston. I just want to give you guys that was very respectful right there.
Oh, absolutely. He deserved all the respect in the world, and I could see the day. I know the push now is to go ahead and retire the number six jersey across the league. I would have no problem with that. Absolutely would be a sign of respect to his greatness.
Yeah.
I think LeBron James would be okay with that.
Well, there's there's always been a discussion again with it's very hard in the NBA with the Mount Rushmore thing. The reason why you got to put Bill Russell on there is because he's kind of the Babe Ruth of the NBA. Yeah. And you know, we're all prisoners of the moment. We're all comparing eras. It's really difficult to compare. It's difficult to compare eras when you had only certain amount of resources at that time versus now. It's just not, you can't do that. That's why the argument of greatest ever is such a hard argument. There are way too many variables in there. And then, you know, in terms of Bill Russell only lost one title it was against St. Louis in, I believe, 58. Lost to St. Louis in six in 1958. He had won 11. He's won 11 championships in the NBA, won two NCAA championships, and I believe he won two Olympics. He's lost one title game in his entire career, and he played in a lot. And he never lost a deciding game. He never lost in a deciding game. And me being a Laker fan, and initially when I was growing up, Wilt Chamberlain was – I didn't know the history when I first started getting into this, so it took me a while to kind of find out what was going on. And when I was doing my research and paperwork when I was in school, I was always a big sports fan, obviously. And you know, I did my papers on the NFL, did it on, you know, players of the NBA or Major League Baseball. So I found out a little bit more history about the Wilt Russell thing. And what ended up happening was once you, again, took off the Laker goggles, you realized Wilt may have been the most devastating player at this time.
He was dominant.
But he was missing, according to his record, where it mattered. He lost at Kansas. He lost six championships in his – no, I'm sorry, five. Five. He should have more than two. Let's just put it that way. He should have more than two titles for the amount of dominance he had. He beat Russell once in 67, which, you know, Philly's probably best team ever. So Bill Russell was the consummate team guy with the talent, with the clutch gene, with everything you would want. He coached those last two seasons that he won the title. I mean, come on. This is not the norm. It's kind of like Ohtani in a way. You got this freak of nature who did everything and still came out, you know, winning in the end. So you have to give props to that. And, you know, the guy lived 88 years, and I think it's important that we celebrate it. This was a great life. He lived a great life. I think they're going to retire that number. I think they will. I think they're going to do it.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
The better that these Marvel films do, the higher the standards are going to be for not just other films in general, but other Marvel films also.
I think it's really hard to end a show with this many fans in a satisfying way.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Playing worldwide on radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Hey Lakers fans, looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than Lakerholics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Kenneth, I know you had some more things to say. Obviously, the respect to Bill Russell, obviously that definitely comes first. But your thoughts on what's been going on? You have been on the show for a while, so I know you got some things stored up. So go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Let it out, my friend. Let it all out.
Okay. You know, obviously, RIP to Bill Russell. And minus that, if we were to change subjects and we get back to the Lakers, Showtime, Los Angeles, California, and everything, the trades, the rumors, LeBron, the extensions, the proceeding of what are they going to do in the future, and even the immediate future, because we got to lay all these things out right now. And I want to say right now, being a fan of this show, following this show in the last, like, I would say for myself personally, anybody that's viewing this right now, for the last, like, I think pretty much the whole last season and all the brutality that we endured and suffered and seeing the show, and we come to this point now, we got a lot to unfold here, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot to unfold. And we talking about trade rumors, LeBron, an extension, how much money. We got a Kendrick Nunn, who is healthy now, that's coming back. He's still under contract. We got Westbrook. He's still opted in. Kyrie trades. We got all these things unfold. And I've been listening to you guys. And it's been good stuff. It's been definitely good stuff. I don't know where to start. Give me a topic. I don't know where to start because I'm fired up and I'm ready to go at Joe. I need a topic and I just want to unleash. I'm ready to unleash right now because there's a lot. Well, I have hope in the Lakers right now.
Well, this is the first day for the Lakers. They are allowed to go ahead and offer LeBron an extension. There has been talks, according to Dave McMenamin from ESPN. It is, you know, they're actually having productive contract talks, quote unquote. I want to know exactly what does that mean. I mean, he hasn't signed pen to paper as of yet. And to me, as I say, as the person who thinks on the other side, as far as the glass half empty, as always Laker Tom will tell me, I'm always concerned that if the longer this plays out, the bigger message LeBron is trying to make in regards to where the team stands and if it has a chance to go ahead and succeed in his eyes. Do you think the same as I do? Do you think this is going to prolong itself out? Do you think this is actually going to be, by the time the weekend's over, he's going to be and sign another, as Joe would say, a 1+1 or a 2? I would say another 1+1 personally as well.
Okay. A lot of unfold right there. Here's my take. Here's just my opinion, my take, my knowledge, and my perspective that I see outside looking in. I'm going to make this long story short here. When it comes to the Lakers, what they're trying to accomplish next season compared to last season, when it comes to LeBron right now, LeBron James, all-star, super, just great talent. And he is right now, he has an extension for $97 million, I think, in 2 years. I think $97 million. So there's a lot to break down there. Are we talking about a LeBron that needs money?
Well, I would argue right now,
LeBron being a billionaire, some could argue he doesn't need the money.
But right now, hold on, let me say this, Kenneth. Remember, right now he's on a 1+1. So he can walk next summer if he chooses to.
Right. So I think that date is June 30th, next year, 2023, right?
Yes.
So right now, accordingly, I think I look at it as the pros and cons. As Joe, like if LeBron takes an extension right now, of course he can get the $97 million, he can get 2 years, and we know LeBron as being in L.A., his priorities and his goals, like looking outside of basketball, when it comes to this situation, LeBron James, when we look at the reality of his situation, we can argue that he doesn't necessarily need the money. I mean, any player, when we look at the optics of it, and you know, they could take this extension, but LeBron doesn't need the money. What that money would go towards would be towards other players, maybe, the Lakers in front office to explore free agency or explore trade offers before the deadline come in 2022-23 before, was it February All-Star break? The pros and cons of LeBron doing this. I think essentially we're talking about leverage right now. How much leverage LeBron has right now to, if he were to opt out versus if he stayed with the Lakers. That's what we're really talking about. If LeBron, with this extension, if he were going to stay with the Lakers or if he's going to leave, or would it benefit him more to, with this contract, let it be leveraged to maybe the front office at like goes to find players or to make it better for LeBron? Or if he doesn't, what would that mean for the Lakers or LeBron? Like, we know LeBron right now, he loves Hollywood. He loves L.A. He has business there. We know the intangibles of what LeBron is bringing to the table when it comes to California, Los Angeles. But when it comes to basketball of the Los Angeles Lakers, we have a Westbrook that in his next year, I mean, the Lakers are looking at right now, if LeBron were to not extend his contract right now, he's essentially adding so much, like, what is the cap space that we're talking about to the Los Angeles Lakers right now, which we've seen the history of players do that. Harden is doing that right now with Philadelphia. He's taking a pay cut, and they're adding pieces because of that, obviously, you know, X amount of money that they're being able to add. So what are we talking about here? Like, LeBron, if we were to, Joe, if we really talk about this, what is more beneficial for the Lakers, for LeBron? As a Lakers fan, we can argue that, yes, we want Lakers. We, as Lakers fans, we want LeBron to stay with the Lakers right now. Obviously. Obviously.
Okay,
but
so,
business-wise, when it comes to that money that he's being offered, that could be used elsewhere as well. And let's mind you, people, he's still under contract, and he's still got a year left until June 30th. Till then, he can only decide at any time. So then what are we talking about? So, Joe, I'm asking you, would it be more beneficial for the Lakers to extend this with LeBron's contract, or for LeBron to say, humble himself, he's obviously not short of money, and to be like, you know, for the next year, until he does, he can actually, it could benefit the Lakers having the money that they would give LeBron if they were to spend it elsewhere.
I'm gonna say the money's important, and that, and it'll make sense. I'll explain it on for both sides. So LeBron, if you came to me and said, "All right, Joe, how's this gonna play out? Don't speculate. Just use the common sense thing." He's gonna do the 1+1. He's gonna get $47 million for the 23-24 season. The reason why he's gonna do that is because he can't really go anywhere next year that's gonna pay him that money. There isn't going to be a team out there that's going to drop 1/3 of their salary cap for an aging LeBron.
The only teams with salary cap that could do that even close right now would be San Antonio and Oklahoma City.
I don't see Oklahoma City doing that. I definitely don't see San Antonio doing that. So we know, I believe I know already, he's going to sign an extension. I'm sorry. You were talking about next year, not 2024, right?
Because he's still under contract right now.
Right. He's under contract, but he
can opt out. He can opt out at the end.
I don't believe he's going to get the money he's going to get. Let's say he extends both seasons. He's going to get, unless there's a trade, he's not going to get that on the open market. So he's going to sign those extensions, In my view, no matter what. And then if he is to leave, it's going to have to be through a trade. I just don't see a team in the summer of 2024 or summer of 2025 offering him more money than that.
Let me say this.
Okay.
Hold on, guys. Let me just say this.
Not more money.
Kenneth Stone, hold on a sec. Let me just say this. The TV contract, when they go ahead and sign a new TV contract, there will be a bump up. But when that starts is up for speculation, whether that would start in the summer of 24, 25, or 26. You would see a gradual bump up from there that would allow for some teams to go ahead and sign additional individuals that they may not under normal circumstances sign. But again, that's not up till what the new TV contract is signed. Again, that wouldn't be until 2024 at the very earliest. So I just wanted to go ahead, Kenneth, and before you interject with that, I just wanted to let you know.
Very good point. Very, very good point. So, Joe, my point, let's buckle down. We're talking about a LeBron James where, let's be honest, financially, he's probably not the most worried person in the world. So when we talk about financially basketball and we talk about this extension that is on his head, on his in his near future right now, if you were LeBron, like okay, I would compare it to this situation. When Michael Jordan was on the Wizards, he took $1 million at 38 years old, the same age as LeBron is right now, to help the front office of the Wizards come together and try to make something. So when we talk about LeBron, who still has talent, who still is 25-6-6, and at his age compared to the average of the league, we can argue that financially LeBron is not worried about dollars, right? You know, like let's be honest here. Like,
okay, let's go with that. Let's
put it in the context. Like, so when we, so like you said, talking about other teams, like we're not talking about Kevin Durant. He's having trouble being traded per him wanting to be traded from the Nets right now, but we're talking about LeBron James. You're not telling me that if LeBron James wanted to declare, if he wanted to be traded right now, that the whole open market would just flood and everybody would want LeBron. This is LeBron we're talking about. So, yes, split that 97-47. Yeah, another team probably wouldn't even, let alone if they didn't have that cap space. But say, even if they only offered him 20, 25, up to 30, that difference of a cut, according to his finances, we're talking about LeBron James here. We're not talking about a Kyrie. We're not talking about Steph Curry. LeBron James is upper echelon right now. He last thing he's worried about is money. You know, so if he were to take that pay cut to the Lakers saying, we're unable to add these pieces around you, but he can take a pay cut to go somewhere else, and though it'd be a less amount of dollar amount, but he would have people around him. We know LeBron James, he wants great players around him. He would do that.
You believe, okay, let's roll with that for a second. Okay, so let's say he doesn't sign the extension and he says to the Lakers, all right, guys, I really want to have a chance at winning 5 and 6, but we're going to need more guns, right? We're going to need more ammo, whatever.
Is he wrong for that? Is he first cut right there, is he wrong for saying that?
Not at all. Not at all. Not as a fan. Hell no. I'll tell you why. We're going to have set. Okay, let's just say LeBron doesn't sign the extension and Westbrook plays out his contract.
He waits until June 30th. Super
so
leverage.
So next year, regardless of whatever happens, right? Next year, the Lakers have $77 million in cap space. So if LeBron comes back when the new league season starts, which is what creates that, right? And he goes, look, guys, I'm going to take the minimum. Go get me some guys. Now, here's the problem there. See, here's the problem there. The problem is there's really not a lot of players available next season. Like the next summer's free agency is not really good.
In the era of the Supermax contract, a lot of these players have signed Supermax contracts, which now extends them beyond what maybe next year and even the next year.
So it'd be a trade exception, maybe, if somebody wants to bounce. Like Damon Lillard says, hey, Lillard says, guys, I want to go to LA and, you know, try to win a championship. I don't know. We have, like, it's one of the, I think from what I read, other than Kyrie, it's one of the worst free agent summers in terms of talent next year. So now you're kind of stuck. You're in this.
No.
I want to do this and I want to do that. But the problem is, there's not enough assets. There's not enough talent. It's like, what do you make the decision on? But in the end, I don't think that's going to happen. I think LeBron wants his money.
I believe in LeBron. I believe in the Lakers. And I know I'm going into this half cup full, half cup empty. I believe in LeBron.
Sounds like somebody we know. Greatness,
even at the stage of where he is at today. And let me speak this, and I'm telling you, I know I can sound absurd, outlandish, but I'm telling you, the man is bona fide and he's certified, and I'm telling you this. And this is where the point where it gets crucial. So say if LeBron does opt in to two-year extension right now, 97, he gets his money, 2 years. So who's to say he's wrong if to say that he doesn't? Because say he opts in, Joe, right now, and then you have an Anthony Davis that is injury prone, and say going into this next coming season, he gets injured, say, November or maybe February. LeBron is already opt-in. He's signed. He's got his money and everything. But in LeBron's world, he just opted into contract, an extension where he's got a player alongside of him that has got injured, and he doesn't know the future of Los Angeles or in that situation.
Well, let me ask you this, Kenneth.
Why would that benefit LeBron?
Well, let me ask you this, Kenneth.
Leverage not doing it.
Well, let me ask you this, Kenneth, real quick. If that happens and the season goes south and LeBron is once again, you know, manning a team that's not doing well because of an injuries or what have you.
AD goes down in November. We're all like, yeah. Why did he do that then, right?
Let me ask you this. He'll be on for another year as far as the contract is concerned. Would you consider trading him for assets? I mean, I have to look at everything realistically, and I know, you know, LeBron fans specifically don't want me to say this, and I apologize for saying it, but you have to look everything on the table. You have to look on the table as far as your future assets, and the Lakers don't have much in the way of future assets, but if LeBron were to extend and you have him on for another year, so that would be 2 years of a contract, if something happens and the season goes south, you at least have to look at that option as far as trading him, because he does become more attractive to another team.
Okay,
you would have to get his blessing, and of course, Clutch's blessing, and of course.
I think we're learning a lesson here, guys. Hold on a second, and then I'll let you go, Ken. We're learning a lesson here, guys, with this Kevin Durant thing. I don't know what the market would be for LeBron in terms of...
Oh, it'd be north. And north. Well,
yeah, and in terms of... It's just like the reason why the Durant trade's taking so long is you're going to have to gut your team to get them.
Well, he's not LeBron either.
Are you winning?
Moving so, land in the ocean for like Kevin Durant like they would LeBron.
Here's what's going to happen. If AD gets injured again, LeBron is probably going to have to come to the realization that he might not finish his twilight years winning championships. At that point, he's going to have to just wait for his son to come, stat pad all his stuff to the point where no one could touch it. And that'll be it. That's the reality of this. But he's got a better chance winning in L.A. than he does anywhere else in my book at this moment.
Because LeBron, he has a chance winning in himself being an entity. LeBron being an entity alone.
Ken, yes.
Maybe I believe
but not maybe not now. Look, I thought Russell Westbrook would work with LeBron because LeBron had a history of always working with everybody, right? It didn't happen. It's just... Okay. So now we're in that world where something happened that had never happened in the first 19 seasons or 18 seasons when LeBron has played. He's always been able to play with anybody, right? So this is the first. So Father Time, he's going to stretch it like Tom Brady, but it's still, you know, there's going to be a lot of first time things that are going to happen eventually before it's done. And looking at how the NBA is constructing itself right now, you can't pay a 36 or 37-year-old $60 million and hope to win a championship. It's going to be difficult.
Well, you mentioned Damian Lillard on the back end of his contract will be earning $50 million as a 36, 37-year-old player. $50 million plus on the back end of his contract. So just putting that out there. I mean, when you sign these guys over 30 to those extensions, that's what you're going to be seeing here in the not-too-distant future.
A thing that people don't talk about with the NBA, and everyone, you know, I get caught up into it too, and I'm wondering why, like Bradley Beal, why would you do it? But the thing is, there's something in the CBA that says a team has to spend a certain amount of money. That's part of the agreement. They have to spend, I think, 90% of their salary.
Would you really want to spend it towards a player like, for instance, Bradley?
They have no choice. No one's going to Portland and no one's going to Washington. There's so many things going on. It's like, what do you do? Okay, well, we might as well just keep what we have and at least have somebody being interested in going to the game and watching Damian Lillard or going to Washington and watching Bradley Beal play. These guys are kind of stuck. I think the system was supposed to be created in a way where it gave the player – every chance to earn as much money as they can and kind of control the team from not being, you know, not kind of going above themselves. But I think in a lot of ways, this goes back to kind of maybe a little bit more of a capitalistic situation, kind of like the Major League Baseball system, is I think there's one league that shouldn't have had a salary cap the way they did, and it was the NBA. Why? because the value of one guy, I mean, just if you ran the numbers, I haven't run the numbers. If you run the numbers from 03 to now, or let's say 03 from when LeBron was.
I mean, like he got a $90 million contract with Nike. Okay. It's the first year in the draft.
Even more than that is that what was the Cleveland Cavaliers? Because I'm not going to go with the Lakers. Lakers are big. They're big no matter who's there.
You can argue LeBron was the highest paid rookie of all time.
If you look at the Cleveland, and I'm going to do this research and I'll talk about it in the next show, because I just thought of it now that you guys are bringing it up. I would love to see the numbers from 03 to when LeBron was playing for Cleveland and how much value that team went up with him on it. And then you guys can then set the number from that. I'm going to guarantee you that guy made that organization at least a bill in the time he was there. And then you're only paying him in that time probably – maybe 150 yeah, to 200 million of that.
30 maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. So when you start looking at it from those numbers, you're like,
Okay. Let me get in there.
It starts to get complicated.
Please,
sorry.
Please. Okay. So, okay, we're talking about LeBron James right now at 38 years old, going to be 39 in December. In December, upcoming in a couple months, is going to be year 20 in the league. As much as he's done phenomenally with his body, training, fitness, eating. We're talking about, I don't know if you guys saw the Drew League or even LeBron, what he's posted on his social media. I would argue right now, Joe, like, and of course, people can say like, oh, Cavs fans, Lakers fans and LeBron fans, they say this every year. It's almost the intangible of Tom Brady. He's just that excellent every year. But no, I want to argue right now that seeing LeBron James right now, according to what he's posting, according to his fitness, according to putting into his body at 38 years old, looking at the scope and history of the league and ages of countless dominant great players at his age, we can't argue the sustainability, the longevity, how great he's been, and even still till now, Joe, have you seen him? Have you seen him, the way he's getting off the ground, how he's dunking, how he's moving, how he's stepping, how he's going through the legs, how he's dunking? And he's going into his 20th season at 38 years old right now. He's going, and the opportunity that is at his door is a two-year extension. He's still under contract. The league is looking at his looking. The last year, the Golden State Warriors won. They got out of the West. Before that, the Bucks, they won the East, and they won the national they won the championship. And before that was LeBron. And look at history, where we can argue, when has LeBron, and I don't know, minus anybody that's followed LeBron, looking at the shop and seeing what he said on there, I argue, Joe, like right now LeBron, I think mentally, he's very, very healthy. Physically, he's very healthy. His approach to the game in this following season, or not following, but this upcoming season, is very healthy. As LeBron and himself, I just want to ask you, Joe, as far as what you've seen, I don't know what you've seen or what you've heard or what you've looked at concerning LeBron at this moment, but what is your state? What is your take on him right now? Because I have my opinion, but what he's looking like? What do you think he's looking like? Because he's looking. Come on, man. Talk to me, man. He's looking phenomenal.
He's looking good on offense, but he's not going to likely be effective as much as he was in the past.
Okay,
on
we're talking defense. About the league right now. We don't play defense right now, anyway. So we can argue that it might not be.
They have to. There's no way. If AD, well,
we saw Curry in the finals, this past NBA finals, Curry didn't play a lot of defense either. We can argue Draymond Green didn't play a lot of defense. Klay Thompson didn't play a lot of defense. So when we're talking about defense, we're talking about NBA right now. That's obviously.
I disagree with you on that, Ken. I think the Golden State Warriors during the course of the finals and of course Wiggins the playoffs, they did play a lot of defense. Yes, what? Wiggins was their key.
Wiggins' defense on what? Tatum.
I could throw the statistics out at you, man.
And I mean, I would argue that the Celtics, they lost more than the Golden State won. If we're going to talk about defense,
how many Wiggins turnovers defense. Did they create a game? I mean, my
there
gosh,
was no defense on either team.
Wiggins' defense on Tatum was a serious was a series changer. If he doesn't play as well as he did in that series against Tatum, Boston was up 2-1. They would have won that series.
Okay, defense what level does of defense matter. Are we talking about? Here's 90s Dennis Rodman
look,
defense?
LeBron, LeBron.
Hakeem Olajuwon defense? Like, what level of defense are we talking about air-wise?
Enough to make him shoot, what was it, 36% from the field? That's pretty extensive when you're talking about the best player on their team.
And we're talking about a Celtics team that, like, if KD, and we're talking about other, you know, different X factors, had other teams gone right, the Celtics weren't even supposed to be in the finals. But minus defense.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you the actual statistics. They held the Celtics to 103 points per game on 43% shooting. That's
and since those final statistics, it hasn't been that high and like
and how many that low how many like, turnovers? Was it like 17 to 18 turnovers a game they were forcing?
And Jason Tatum gave like majority of those on the Celtics, right?
Well, I'm just
so that was a defense on the part of the Golden State Warriors.
So you're saying it's all the Boston that did it to themselves?
Boston wasn't supposed to be there, in my opinion. They weren't supposed to be there.
Well, I mean, regardless of what their issue
but they were, Miami, but they were. Just like we argue that Miami versus Lakers in the bubble, like
Boston absolutely deserved to be there. And whatever Udoka did in December, I don't know what happened. I don't know if he brought everybody in and said, sit your butt down and let's go this way. They changed from December and on, and they would have won the championship had they played anyone other than Golden State. And the reason why Golden State won the championship is it's something that I've said repeatedly on this
show. They had the defensive player of the year Boston had.
They are Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. And Draymond Green had a miserable finals.
And some could argue Klay Thompson.
But they are a team. They are Steph and Klay are the consummate team players, and it resonated in the entire team. And Steve Kerr was able to wrangle it in as well as a coach could.
Okay, so let me ask you, was that Golden State Warriors team that just won the championship, were they better than the team, Golden State Warriors, that beat LeBron in 2018 and in 2015? No, they weren't.
Not even close, no.
No, they weren't. They could have been beat. They could have been beat. The Boston Celtics lost that themselves.
Anybody could have been beat this last year, anybody. But the thing is, in the end, the result's in the pudding, and the result is
we're Boston up 2-1, and then they completely choked in game four. Like that was ridiculous at home like that.
There's always going to be in some way a team choking something in a big game like that. If you look at every Laker,
pressure on Tatum, we got him rocking the 24 wristband on his arm representing Kobe, and like come on the pressure. I don't even want to get into the Boston. I'm talking Lakers right now. All I'm talking about.
Well,
is Lakers,
I'm gonna answer your question. The answer to your question is, I am not expecting a 38-year-old LeBron James to be 2012 James. However, we need to construct the team to play off of his strengths. His strength is controlling the tempo, controlling the offense, doing what he does on offense. And then having your prime player, prime superstar in Anthony Davis, picking up the slack where we are deficient in, which is what won the team the championship in 2020.
Plus, you're hoping that the young additions that they got to the roster, you're hoping that, okay, maybe not they're not the most talented or they can shoot the three really well. At least if they can go out and be active on defense, you can create a situation where LeBron can go ahead and carry you on the offensive end.
And yeah, like right now, we don't know if they're like, you know, I don't know right now at this moment how that transpires, that they keep Pippen or they keep Shaq's son or Reeves and those type of players. But right now, as far as like, I think the Lakers right now, they still have Carmelo Anthony. They have a Kendrick Nunn that's under contract.
No, I don't have Melo right now. Melo's a free agent. There's actually 10 players on the Lakers roster last year
that are certified. Okay.
That are free agent right now that are looking for a job, to tell you how bad a job Pelinka did last year. Melo, I think, will eventually find a job, but I think a lot of the other players will not.
Okay. So minus that, okay, we're starting at LeBron. The obvious pieces, Westbrook, Anthony Davis, Kendrick Nunn.
I'm not putting my – I don't know about Kendrick Nunn yet.
Kendrick Nunn is 41% from the three-point line.
I commented on this on Lakers Ball today.
Joe, 41%. For three.
Oh, believe me, I was excited about him last year. But let me.
He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's got a redeeming.
There's a lot. There's a chip somewhere, but I think it's in his bone bruise somewhere. I don't know what it is. Oh, the thing is, I remember being excited about Kendrick Nunn, but there was this little chip in my head, and this is something I deal with every day in anything. And I'm thinking to myself, I watched Kendrick Nunn play in Miami. He was a stud.
He was awesome.
Why did Pat Riley just kind of let him go? And why is there this constant mystery with this bone bruise? Is there something else going on? Like, I don't know. Something doesn't sound right with him. And it doesn't sound like there's really anything coming out right now about him. Like, and then, he's playing. He hasn't even played 5-on-5 yet. So I'm like. Okay.
Let's talk about as well Russell Westbrook. The Russell Westbrook saga, you actually firmly have him on the roster coming back next season. There's a big question on whether or not he actually stays on the roster, if he's going to be sent home and staying at home, or if he's going to be traded. That's a big question. A lot of fans, there's a lot of speculation going on. I firmly believe that the situation is not exactly the greatest between LeBron and AD and Russ. I think that that's something you have to consider as well. The tension, there's tension there.
Yeah, definitely is. Professionalism, we got to keep the professionalism in there. I want to make one point on that note. Please, can I make this? And I'll keep it short. Concerning Westbrook, and I'll make this analogy to anybody's listening right now, Joe. I'm just saying, analogy-wise, when we drive somewhere the first time, we don't know where we're going. We don't know landmarks or anything like that. But we can honestly say that when we go somewhere the second time, we got landmarks. When it comes to a second chance of life, and I've been saying this since the last year, but I'm just saying, comparatively this year, when it comes to knowledge alone, you know in a second situation, the more what you got to learn. We know going into the first season, Westbrook, it was a trial. He's back home, the uproar. We get that. It failed and everything. But as a second season, Westbrook, when he knows what's going ahead of him, free agent after this, what this means for his career, when it comes to another team, how much he has the pressure that it comes to, let alone the Lakers, to show out as an athlete alone, his own individual self. I'm only asking you, as a second chance, we can only expect and even have high hopes that, you know, he turns us around. He knows more what to do this year. I'm not talking about if he has the opportunity to, if he's in sticky situation where he can't, but just going in, I'm asking you, Joe, how positive are you going into this next season with Westbrook? What does he have to offer that he has to learn from last season, if he will or not? And if he does, what does that mean to the Lakers for you if he turns it around, if he can?
I have as much confidence as his jersey number.
I laid that out like a Bowen.
He might have an epiphany in 10 years, like Shaq did with Kobe and Shaq. You know, Shaq every
I'm,
five.
I'm just saying, Joe. Like, if you burn chicken in the oven and you burned it at 450, you know, next time you have to turn it down to maybe 300.
You don't get better, Kenneth. You don't get better. You don't get better at making layups. The older you get, you don't get better at shooting. I mean, you do sometimes, but not Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook goes down. He's been going down more and more.
Kenneth Stone.
His mental capacity does not care about team
basketball. So he stepped on a nail, and you're telling me he's going to step on it again. He knows where the nail is. I can tell you, Westbrook, it's in the corner. Right there, he's going to step on it again. It's human nature alone. You're not giving him no chance here. On a 0 to 1 to 10, Westbrook, he's just no cause right now.
Not even one, zero.
He's one of the greatest athletes in the game.
But he can't win championships.
Kenneth, all right, guys, let me just say this. Kenneth, I'm going to say this. I look at things from an analytical point of view. I look at as far as in the raw statistics. I look at also as far as, you know, the eye test. What do my eyes tell me? Since his MVP season, his numbers as far as his efficiency. And the fact is he's the worst, one of the worst statistical all-time worst three-point shooters ever in the league. Ever in the league. You cannot dispute that. And the fact is,
well, I can't dispute that he has a better shooting percentage when he joined the Lakers than he had when he had when he was with the Wizards. His shooting percentages went up when he joined the Lakers, and his turnovers went down as far as them being way higher before he previously joined the Lakers.
Remember, he was sharing the ball with LeBron. So
he was sharing the look. When he joined the Lakers, his shot percentage went up and his turnover rate went down. So meaning before he joined the Lakers, his turnover rate was way higher and his shot percentage was way lower. So he still made improvement by joining the Lakers.
Again, right now, he is just not a fit for
today's NBA. Only result.
He's not efficient and he can't shoot well from the outside. It's just simple.
So take out last season, outer minds. Lakers, if they were to take Westbrook, the Westbrook is going to be with Lakers this upcoming season. So I'm just saying, minus
it's looking more and more like it.
I'm saying on hope alone.
His contract
please
at least
help me. I'm a Lakers fan. Please help me. That's what I'm saying. Westbrook going into a situation where he has more to learn from last year than coming into the Lakers based on the first year. Forget the whole UCLA. I'm going back home. Forget all of that. He's going into his second season with the Lakers. He has a lot to learn from. He has a lot to acknowledge. He has a lot to dive into. He has a lot to take advice from his own game. Now, I understand if you say he's not going to do any of that. But based on professionalism alone, his contract, his future and longevity in the NBA, he has a lot riding on this season more than last year. It was a trial and error. So that on alone, you guys are telling me, is still 0% jersey number. Like Joe said, he's still going to prove the same thing right now.
Well, okay, I will say this. Nobody works harder. Nobody's more determined than Russell Westbrook. You've seen his determination.
He's with the LeBron motivated. Has leverage right now. Westbrook,
I'm going off the current tensions that are not so secret abound right now in Lakerlands when it comes to Russell Westbrook's intentions. Obviously, the change in agents, the tensions that have been reported between him and LeBron. The summer league game, you can draw this whole saga and drama out, but also the fact, again, last year was not a good year for him at all, with Staples Center booing him on many occasions.
Well, going into next year, we can say a lot about last year, but I'm saying this year. So what Westbrook needs to be this year, if he does this, and he can, like, say it's Lakers going a stretch for three game wins, they don't need Westbrook to just show out all the time. If he plays his role for three game wins,
so that's the question.
To help the Lakers win.
Does Westbrook have the mindset to go ahead and change his role to something different? He's been very stubborn as far as what he wants to do as far as himself and his career going forward. He is already a first ballot Hall of Famer. No one should ever dispute.
He's great. And that's why I'm expecting so much.
He has become a very inefficient, very poor shooting, high prone to turnover type player. If you base off especially last year, again, he's someone that LeBron at this point, it looks like from all appearances that it's going to take a lot to mend those fences. And I'm not sure that they can be mended. And I think that at this point in time, you have to look at trying to go ahead and take care of. If you have to choose, you have to choose.
This is so hard on Westbrook. Okay, I'll give you. Guys
I don't want to. I don't like the insulting. I don't like downing his game.
We're not talking about the individual.
Just one point, real quick. I'll give you guys the benefit of the doubt. How many?
This is not about the individual.
You give Westbrook before is it one?
He's a great family man.
Before he completely shows signs of last season. Before you say, like, he's done, you're completely out of him, or say five games, he shows you good signs. Or five games, he shows you completely the same signs as last season. How many games will you throw in the towel?
But the thing is, you can't, even if you give it 10 games or 20 games, if it goes off the rails again, he even becomes harder and more difficult to trade. As far as his contract is concerned. And that's the problem right now facing the Lakers. Nobody wants his contract at this point in time. Nobody wants to trade for him.
I'm trying. I'm riding for him, obviously.
I know you are, and you're a big supporter, and you should be congratulated for that. I do not like the fact that I have to go ahead and say,
I don't want to be that. But realistically, how many games do you give him, Joe? With 10 games in, he's still turnover rate. But 10 games, he shows you Westbrook signs of OKC. Are you going to give up on him in game 20?
No. I don't want to. I'm not even going to take the chance. If they keep Westbrook, I would send him home before the season starts. Or buy him out. Maybe he collects $45 million of that deal. They save $2 million. I don't know what, but I don't want Westbrook anywhere near this young team.
If they go to the training camp together and you start feeling the tension right away, that's a problem right there. That's
you can't risk that because it'll completely direct. You're going to be off right out of the gate. You don't want to risk that. You have to. Go into this season, if it happens to be this team, there's no changes. You have to go into this next season focused on making sure LeBron and AD are like this. Because you still have two superstars that are playing on your team. It's not like we're the Orlando Magic. You need those two guys to be focused and playing and the young guys working off a team-oriented LeBron and an AD that plays both sides of the court, and he doesn't ever cause problems.
Joe, are you saying right now? Joe, are you saying right now that assuming a healthy AD and a healthy LeBron all season, and they average both 25 and say 6-6? Obviously, the difference between the two will fluctuate, but they stay healthy and they produce phenomenally. That even a bad Westbrook can even derail that.
The thing is, when I look at the record from the previous season, 2021, okay, LeBron and AD missed more time that season, and we won 9 more games. When they played more games this last year, and were 9 games worse. So, the guy is a chemistry destroyer because he doesn't take any accountability when he does make a mistake, and the whole world knows, and he knows he made a mistake. He still didn't take any accountability with the Frank Vogel thing. He didn't take any accountability of the fact that he couldn't make open layups. The guy had, there was a statistic, I think, Gerald, did you show it to me or did I read that somewhere? Probably where he's like the worst, he had the worst layup percentage according to all this analytical stuff ever. And gross. Look, man, I know what I watched. And I thought this was going to work. And I thought it was going to work because he is a ball handling Mighty Mouse. And I thought, man, and he's always available. I'm like, dude, LeBron is going to play 30 minutes a game. He's never going to have to worry about playing because the second he gets out after the 5-minute mark, they're going to say, Russell, go ahead, go do your thing until LeBron gets back in. And you'd be getting that kind of constant jab, jab, hook, hook, right, left. Instead, we got a guy who, again, couldn't do the basic fundamentals. He wouldn't close out on double teams. He wouldn't really – his screen and roll was terrible. I mean, the guy didn't play a lick of team basketball. Also,
we haven't even mentioned the fact, statistically, he's one of the worst defensive players out there last year.
That's not all the players he is.
Ken, that
of
play – I'll tell you right now, but that Reggie Jackson closeout was it. That was where I almost – just went like this on everything. You have a rookie who closed off the side. That's standard fundamentals. He closed any chance of Reggie to get around him to get to the basket. And then here comes all Russell had to do was this and just merge with Reeves. And Reggie Jackson has no opening to the basket. And he didn't do that. He went the opposite way. And I'm like, what are you doing? Boom. Split the double team. Made the layup, done. We lost the freaking Clippers again, and that was it for me. That was it. I was like, you know what, dude? If you're not gonna care, then I'm not gonna care either.
Well, and I will just say the Russell Westbrook issue is a hot button issue, and I appreciate Kenneth Stone for coming on. You know, one of the biggest supporters of Russell.
Yeah, some brutal, kind of brutal.
I just see it again. I see it analytically, and you know, you see that the way teams play Russell Westbrook,
I see
they want him
this.
To shoot. They want
the
him
numbers.
To shoot.
I look at the freshman.
They're begging him to shoot.
I'm looking at the whole 360.
They're begging him to shoot when he's out there. That's the problem. You cannot have players out there that are that problematic on both.
But we can't. But we can't sit here and act like we're comparing a Westbrook season to where Westbrook had a season with the Lakers all the way healthy. So if he has, at least from basketball terminology, if Westbrook goes into this new season with a healthier Lakers team than last year, you guys are still saying it's not going to matter.
I think the Lakers would be marginally improved, but then again, you don't have I'm hoping first if we get 70 games from both LeBron and AD, I will be ecstatic. That will be awesome.
And then you're telling me that if that happens, that a healthy LeBron and AD will not be enough to pick up Westbrook, as bad as he can be, if we're going to assume that he'd be bad.
Well, the Lakers will be marginally improved, but you got to remember the Western Conference is also tough, but they also need shooters around them. When LeBron and AD need shooters around them, and when you've got 30% three-point shooters in Austin Reeves and Russell Westbrook,
if I'm an opposing coach,
THT,
hey, this is on record.
Kenneth, how old are you? Right now, do you remember
positivity into this new season?
Kenneth, how old are you? If you don't mind me asking.
Okay, check this out. How old are you? I'm 33.
Okay, so
Scottie Pippen.
That's cool. Okay, so if you had watched Rodman against the Miami Heat back in the 90s when Jordan was destroying everybody,
when
right?
Rodman was on the Sixers.
Rodman used to get under Morning's skin like no other. Like, Morning could not focus. He would just get into his head, and he would never it was every game. It was so bad that Rodman, even at a in an interview after the game, he's like, "It's so easy."
He was defensive player of the year. Like,
it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Once you suck,
like 2-3 years in a row.
Once you
suck, I know a little bit of my history here.
What? Good. I'm just. I don't. I mean, if you're 33, that
I mean, Rodman was a beast when he was on the before he got traded to the Bulls.
You were in high school when that those games were going on. Right, so you probably do remember.
I was watching it at my middle school.
So for me, as a tactician and the things that I do, I'm going to find out what your weakness is. In business, you find out what your competitor's weakness is. So let's say in my situation, I'm very good at communication. I'm good at answering calls right away. I'm good at answering text messages, whatever. And I know that the industry I'm in are not good at that. I'm also good at timelines, and I know my industry is not. So now if I'm a coach, I know exactly what his triggers are. And it doesn't get better as you get older. He's getting older. He's losing he's going to continue to lose his athleticism. And all you're going to do is going to say, look, we already know what Russell Westbrook. I know if I was a player, geez, I would be all up in his face. I'd be going, you ain't going to make that shot. You can't even make 25% of your shots. And he'll get flustered and miss it. We don't need those guys. We need guys that can be mentally tough, take accountability, and make a freaking open layup. How about make an open layup?
I think this is going to be the most exciting. I think the roar. I would argue this has probably been the most exciting offseason in NBA history. I think I know I'm 33 years old. I was growing up in the era, and I did my research and everything like that. So I don't want to seem too objective when it comes to the Lakers and the positivity and everything like that. But I think when it comes to Laker basketball, and obviously we got a LeBron James, we got to talk about playoff or bust. Even if it's not championship or NBA Finals or Western Conference or Eastern Conference, when we talk about the player of the LeBron is, we're obviously talking about winning season above, at least at the basics. When we talk about LeBron, we're talking about a winning season at 500 or better. And when we come to the pieces of the Lakers, we're talking about a winning season. And I would argue that we're going into a more positive season this year than last year. We saw the brutality that happened last year, week in and week out of that. It was brutalizing. But now that it's over, chalk it up. Now we're going to this year. I would argue we have a more healthier Lakers team than we had last year. I think at the end of my combo, my point that I'm trying to make with LeBron being healthier, the Lakers being healthier, more people being healthier, mistakes being learned, when we go off of history and just for the sake of competitiveness and learning and knowing what your weaknesses are, like you said, and strengths and what it takes to improve as a competitor, that I would argue that this season, going into this next season, will be better than last season. Do I know that for sure? No. But going into it, I have a little bit more hope now that that's over going into this new season.
I can guarantee you, and I'll put it right now on that August 4th, 2022 at 6:51 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I will guarantee you, if that guy is not on the team opening night, meaning he's not playing for the rest of the season, I will guarantee the season will be better than last year. That's just by subtracting that.
Well, there you go. So if the Lakers win the first game with Westbrook on the floor, Joe, I need to hear from you. Don't hide. Don't
first
hide.
First game's not enough. Ken, the Lakers actually didn't play that bad the first few weeks.
Okay.
It wasn't until they started blowing they started blowing those 20-point leads against Oklahoma City, where the thing is with Westbrook, it's not about the immediate issue. It's the unraveling.
It's a collective. It's a collective. We're talking about team basketball here.
And that's something Westbrook has no idea what it is.
If Westbrook goes for a positive 20 points in their first win, the first game, and I'm not going to lie, I wouldn't be shocked if the NBA puts the Lakers towards the Warriors or the Nets or the Bucks. It's going to be a hard opponent, right? We can assume. Or maybe the Clippers.
This Western Conference this year is loaded. Loaded
as far as the Lakers' first game, I would probably guess it's probably the Warriors, right? I wouldn't be shocked.
I don't know if the Lakers deserve it.
On their ring night. Yeah, but in the Warriors, be on the road. So,
ring night. So I would not be shocked that. But if the Westbrook gives you 20 with the Lakers win, Joe, I'm gonna need to see you, bro. I'm gonna need to see you on that.
One game is not enough, Ken.
It's not enough. But I'm saying your point.
I don't trust that guy, man. I trusted him once. Enough. We got let down. He needs to go.
I'm going on the string here.
It's been called out, but Kenneth Stone just been tremendous.
If the Lakers win a championship with Russell Westbrook next year, I would be the happiest man on the planet. I'm going to tell you this. G, you make the decision. Wow. You're the moderator. You tell me what you would want me to do if that were to happen, and I'll do it.
I'll think of something devious by
just
Sunday.
Nothing, you
gotta be something real good, nothing moderator. Kinky. You got to be something real good.
No kink.
Real good.
No kinky stuff. No.
I'll talk about it with Kenneth Stone. I'll send you a DM to Kenneth. We'll devise something fair for Joe on that.
How about that? You got to wear Westbrook okay.
And I hope it happens. Believe me. I would not mind embarrassing myself for a championship. So please, again, nothing kinky. Please, I don't do that stuff. Just anything but that.
Okay, enough. Kenneth and I will come up with something devious that's not kinky for the next episode. In case
nothing like that. You know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about.
With Russell Westbrook, are you meaning him or his contract? Now, what if his contract's still on there and they win a championship?
I don't care how, as long as he's playing on the team and he wins.
All right, he's got a plan. Okay, you prefaced my plan. I was going to go as far as an out.
I'm talking about Russell Westbrook being on the team and playing and winning with them.
Fair enough.
That's basically what the team is right now.
It's going down.
Fair enough, indeed. Kenneth Stone, Joe Sorrow, great to have you here. Catch Joe Sorrow always at LakersBall.com. Everybody in the chat room, CJ, Blue Magic, Richard, you've been great. All of you guys have been great. Petting my cat, always great. He's a great watcher. Kenneth, thank you enough as always. Lakers 84, been great. Kenneth Stone, just tremendous as always having on. Glad to have you back.
Thank you.
And again, we're still trying to figure out what the productive contract talks are all about when it concerns LeBron. Will he go ahead and commit to something even longer already than he has with the Lakers? We'll find out in the coming days and weeks, hopefully. In fact, we'll be back on Sunday to go ahead and update you on that productive contract talks coming up on Sunday, what that means. Hopefully, we'll be able to get some more ideas from our guest crew that's all around. But if you have any questions for us, at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, Lakers Fast Break at Facebook. That's where Kenneth Stone found us, right there by liking our page at Facebook, Lakers Fast Break. We're on Twitch as well. And of course, please subscribe today right below me. Go ahead and subscribe today. We appreciate all the new subscribers we got in the past week. We cannot thank you enough for supporting us right here at the Lakers Fast Break. But we'll be back on Sunday with another group chat on tap for you. Hopefully I can get Jamie, Laker Tom, maybe even John coming in, maybe even L. Rob. And I'm going to get the whole crew if I can to go ahead and talk about this LeBron thing, because the more days LeBron doesn't sign the extension, the more nervous I get. And I'll just leave it at that. But guys, it's been great having you both here. Cannot thank you enough for being a part of what we do right here at the Lakers Fast Break.